Cape Talk. A worldview from London with Adam Gilchrist.
And the worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by OUTsurance. SMS out to 30674 now, and you could save on car insurance. And if you don't, ask him for 500 rand. Good morning, Adam. Let's start with the Middle East. It's the Middle East in the balance. There are deep concerns among Iranians.
Yes, there are, which is an interesting side of that coin, isn't it? As we wait to see what happens, there's a whole round of diplomacy going on with phone calls and visits. The UK Foreign Secretary, Lord Cameron, has gone to talk to Benjamin Netanyahu. We know that America believes, and they've said as much, that Israel is planning a narrow and limited strike inside Iran. Would that end it, or would that just be the tit part of the tit for tat? We know that Vladimir Putin has asked for restraint, but Vladimir Putin is not the best friend with Israel. Once upon a time, actually, they were a bit closer together. We may well find out in the coming hours. The thought is that the next 24, maybe 48 hours, what the response will be. So, as you say, in Iran itself, as reported by the BBC and others, and there is limited access, admittedly, to Iran itself, but that normal Iranians fear what comes next. There's been a heavy police presence on the streets of Iran. That idea that if things went pear-shaped, then maybe there could be some sort of rebellion. And apparently the hierarchy are rather worried about that. A letter sent by a long list of Iranian activists, many outside of the country, but some inside, have criticized the Iranian Revolutionary Guard's actions, saying no to warmongering, suggesting that the drone and rocket attacks on Israel were wrong. Some graffiti has appeared on walls in Iranian cities. Israel, strike the supreme leader's house, as in the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. You think, wow, for that to appear anywhere inside of Iran. Israel, hit them. They lack the courage to retaliate. I'm not sure if some of this is a bit of gung-ho nonsense, but still, you get the idea. The people are sometimes very different to their leaders, aren't they?
I'm concerned about the sabers rattling in what could and hopefully not escalate into full-out conflict, and how it's going to affect households. 30% of oil supply could be disrupted, according to some experts, if there is full-scale conflict. And that's not something that I want, because I need to go put in some petrol into my vehicle this afternoon and also, in the coming months.
Who gets involved? It's all very well thinking Israel, Iran, we could survive without Iranian oil. We kind of have through sanctions, but then pull in Iraq and pull in Jordan and Syria and the wider Middle East. And yeah, exactly that. The knock-on effect, even just as far as our petrol forecourts go. Yeah, that's a big thing.
And Donald Trump this week became the first former U.S. president to start a criminal trial. Jury selection has happened. Six are included so far, but dozens have been excluded in jury selection.
Yeah, 60 out of 96 potential jurors were very quick to say, nah, not for me. I can't be impartial on this. One woman left the courthouse in New York saying, I just couldn't do it, sort of shaking her head to herself. So we know that so far, seven jurors have been chosen. This is all about the trial for falsifying business records to conceal a hush money payment to the porn star Stormy Daniels, which Donald Trump has absolutely denied, by the way. So jury selection, seven chosen, five to go. It could take a few more days, maybe many more days. It's difficult because so many people have ruled themselves out. I say 60 out of 96. That was the initial tranche. Others have since either been ejected or ejected themselves. And it's an indication of how challenging it is to find a group of 12 impartial jurors for such a case. I mean, it's always a thing anyway, for any case, how impartial are people given their backgrounds and the influences upon them. But given this is a high profile sex scandal that involves a former president who wants to be the next president, is there anyone on the planet who doesn't already have an opinion? Because if so, they'd probably like to hear from you for jury selection.
And then finally, a Canadian mega con targeting victims with psychic predictions.
And I have to say, as we go through this, you're going to think, how stupid are people to have fallen for this? And yet, most of us have fallen for something at some time. So the way it's put up front, you might think, how obvious is this? That a Canadian con man, now jailed for 10 years, was swindling tens of millions of dollars out of more than a million Americans by claiming to be a psychic. Patrice Runner, he amassed a fortune. Basically, he contacted and got his minions to contact millions of people. I mean, many, many millions of people who had just sent an email along the lines of, you can have an astral clairvoyant forecast. Just send your money this way and you will be promised a fortune, wealth and happiness. Put those two things together. And sometimes maybe if not both, then one of those. Send money through the mail and you will become richer. Doesn't it sound obvious? And yet he pulled in $175 million in doing this scam. Many of his victims, elderly and vulnerable, people looking for something in their lives, I guess is often the case. Astral clairvoyant forecasts my ass. Anyway, 20 years he ran this operation. Millions of people contacted. As I say, 1.3 million took the bait. And once a victim, then they would be asked for more money and be bombarded with more emails and so forth. So doesn't it look obvious up front? And yet a lot of people fell for it.
Did you say his name was Patrice Runner?
Yes.
So
which he probably should have done.
Before he was arrested, he was a medium at large.
Oh, got you. Yes.
There we go.
He was on the run. Yes.
Adam Gilchrist, looking forward to chatting to you tomorrow with The Worldview. Hope you stay well.